Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Vejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so page 12. Parikshit Maharaj continued, taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could not very easily have swallowed them. Footnote 4. In his additional notes for this chapter, Srila Prabhupada adds, the word Maharatham, Rata, refers to a great hero who can fight alone against 11,000 other heroes. And the word Atirata, as found in text 5, refers to one who can fight against an unlimited number. This is mentioned in the Mahabharata as follows. Ekadasa sahasrani Yodhayed yastu danvinam Astra Shastra Pravinascha Maharata iti smritaha Amitan Yodhayed yastu samprokto tiratas tusa. This is the description given in the Brihad Vaishnav Toshini by Srila Sanatana Goswami. So then you have so many Maharatis, as was mentioned in the Gita in the beginning, second chapter, then it opens with that aspect of all the Maharatis. But within those, you have Atiratis, like Arjuna, Bhishma Dev, Drona, so many like that, that they can fight with unlimited. One person can fight, just like we see it, that Arjuna, at that battle at Virat, he alone was fighting the whole Kuru army, and he defeated them all. So that's the meaning of an Atirati. And a Maharati means he can fight against 10,000 others. So it means they're good.
Right? You know, so we had the last class Atirati, and now we have Atirati.
Yeah, Atirati. Yeah, so one's on the battlefield and the others. Yeah. One's with words. And one's but that's the difference is, and then you're getting to the point of realization. Then it's not about words anymore. Okay. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a cat. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshana chakra in hand, entered the womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency, in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and his Virat Rup, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. So here, yeah, the Paramatma, then we see his Paramatma and as Virat Rup. So it means these aspects of Lord, that's how he's time. Because time means how these things will transform, how they will go, the performance of the duties, the results that are coming, the proper time for duties. All this is time. That's all established by the Lord. So he is time. Right? So since it's about his establishment, that means in the spiritual world, then it's what is his desire, that's time. Mm. Yeah. Right? So here it's fixed, because we're under the control of time. But there, time is simply an assistant to the Lord's pastimes.
Because we've chosen not to have a relationship with the
Lord. Yeah, so we don't have a relationship with time, so we are controlled by time. But when you have a relationship with the Lord, then the time supports the relationship. Right? So otherwise your relationship is a connection with time. You know, you're going to have a relationship with the Lord.
At some point.
Yeah, but the point is that, is it impersonal or is it as time? Right? So that's the thing, is every living entity is connected to the Lord. Everyone has a relationship with the Lord, just we're not acknowledging that.
And
that's all.
Quality.
Yeah. You know, so that's, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maasuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So remember, in here, the delivering from sinful reactions has various aspects. We generally take it that what is the karma that's going to befall me, that, you know, that's going to cause me, how you say, physical and emotional trouble. So we're worried about that karma. Right? So we're just, you know, I've done nonsense in the past, how is that going to come around and give me a problem? Right? But that's not the most important one. The most important one is that due to our previous karma, that's our samskaras, right? Our previous samskaras, that creates our present samskaras. And that present samskaras happens to be, generally speaking, non-devotional. Even if we're situated very nicely in goodness and knowledge and proper activity, it's still a karma, right? Does that make sense? So, then being saved from that, how you say, previous, okay, and then what's it? Sinful reactions is that seeing things separate from Krishna, ultimately that's what's sinful. Then you have specifics of that sinfulness, how you don't see it connected to Krishna. Right? Some people, their sinfulness, they see it in relationship to Shastra, and some see not in relation to Shastra. So you have those who are pious, those who are impious. But if it's not in relation to Krishna, it's only known as pious and impious. But when it's seen in relation to Krishna, that's real. That's actual piety. That's why you see sometimes bhakti is referred to in the context of piety. But not seeing it in relation to the Lord, that's actually sinful. Right? So then that aspect of being delivered from all sinful reactions means how to be delivered in our present perspective on things from our previous non-devotional perspective, that doesn't influence our present perspective. So that's an even more important being freed from sinful reactions. That we may see everything in relationship to the Lord for His and favorably for Him. Yeah.
So can we say that the Lord will free us from both aspects?
Yes.
Eventually?
Yes. You just want to, but you focus on the one, on the consciousness one, and then He'll worry about the other one. Because if you focus on the second one, generally that means it's not about the first one. In other words, the primary effect of sinful reactions, forgetting the Lord, and then there's the secondary aspects of forgetting the Lord. You know, what specifics is our own, how you say it? What is that? You know, it's that, you know, the gentlemen come together in the den, and then the one turns to the other and says, what is it?
What's your poison?
Yeah, what's your poison? So that's our thing, is in the material world, we all have our own unique, you know, poisonous consciousness that we're attracted to.
Flavor.
Our
of
own
poison.
Flavor of poison, how we want it particularly mixed.
Shaken, not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred, you know, on the rocks or neat. You know, we just pure materialism. None of this watered down nonsense.
You know.
Yeah, so like that. So that's the difficulty, is that we get distracted by these things. Right? Does that make sense? So we want to see that it's on all levels. Because we're trying to come to the platform of pure devotion, so being freed from sinful reactions means being freed from the tendency to be self-centered and about karma and jnana, that we can see Krishna and it's favorable for Him without our influence of karma and jnana.
Mm-hmm.
That's then the meaning of this sarva-dharma parityaja. Mm-hmm. You focus on desiring that, Krishna will take care of the other two aspects.
Yeah.
Right? But if we're worried about, you know, the material aspects, then you're worrying about them already. Why does Krishna have to worry about them? So it's just a matter of, you know, you don't need everybody worrying about it. So you worry about them, or let Krishna worry about them, like one or the other.
Can't do
both. Yeah, can't, yeah.
The five fires are spoken in the Chandogya Upanishad.
Okay. Why not? Yes.
They're part of the Adhikaramas?
They'll be part of some Adhikarana. But which one, that's another thing, because any verse can be used to establish so many different points. That's the point. The Lord's unlimited. So any one verse you can get. It's like Bhaktisiddhanta says, what he talked about in the first verse of Bhagavatam, spoke 90 different classes. I mean, for over 90 days, he spoke each day on a different point of the Bhagavatam. So like that, then you can come up with so many.
But in liberation, in mukti, the fires, they extinguish themselves.
Everything extinguishes itself. The point is knowledge extinguishes itself. Because fire is burning on wood. Wood is ignorance. So when the wood's gone, the fire's gone. So a knowledge of about our position in ignorance has come to the point where we realize our natural constitutional position. There's no need of using the knowledge to burn the ignorance of conditioning. So that's the whole point. All those things go out. But when they go out, you're still a person, the Lord's a person, and then you act, function on the transcendental. It's not like the Buddhist, the candle goes out and whoopee. You know. So. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So there was a safe side and a non-safe side. Like that. So Duryodhana was representing the other side. Parikshit Maharaj therefore felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness. Ante Narayana Smitihi. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.16. Right? So that's the point, is that since he is the end of all thoughts, then thinking of him at the end is also appropriate. Because then that takes one beyond what's here. Because ante means what's beyond what we know here, what you perceive with the mind and intelligence, going beyond that. Does that make sense? So that brings us to the spiritual. So remembering the Lord then is there. So Parikshit Maharaj, because he knows he has this much time, therefore he's using that to be absorbed in the Lord. And he's looking at it that it worked for Arjuna. He thought of the Lord, and with that he crossed the ocean, insurmountable ocean, you can say, you know, to the other side. Like that. So he crossing that of Duryodhana and his army, which was a greater army by size, and had so many great, great warriors there. But he was able to cross that because of Krishna. So it's like the size of a cat's hoofprint. So in the same way, then he's using that same principle, take shelter of the Lord, and you cross over danger. So Arjuna's danger is the battle, which you can die at. Shukadev and Parikshit Maharaj, he has been cursed, so there's going to be that curse. So he's not worried about crossing over the curse so there's no curse. He's worried about crossing over being worried about the curse. And that is absorbed in the Lord. So absorption in the Lord, that's what you want to come to. That's crossing over. Then it doesn't matter, you know, what is the time frame. Because in any case, it's going to be temporary. Even if you live as long as Lord Brahma, it's temporary. It's 3/4 of a second. In the spiritual world. Whoopee. You know, even the bugs around the light bulb get, you know, the whole night, you know, like that.
So. It's funny from our perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's put, so you get these little. Yeah. Okay. Maharaj Parikshit continued, "My dear Sukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarsana, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible how he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. In the next four verses, there's an inquiry about the particulars of Krishna's birth. The general description was given in the ninth canto, 2454. There, Balaram is called Sankarsana and Ahishvara, the seventh child of Devaki and Vasudev. Therefore, Purikit Maharaj asks, since elsewhere you have referred to Sankarsana as the son of Rohini, how could he come from Devaki's womb without having to change bodies? This is the indication, right? So it's not that he mentioned it here, but there's been two different references. And so the question is he's known as the son of Rohini, but he's also known as the seventh son of Devaki. So, and it means, but he's in the same form, so therefore, then how is he transferred? Right? Does that make sense? Because he's known as both, so he's the same person, he's one person. So then he had to be transferred. Maharaj Parikit continued. Why did Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father, Vasudev, and transfer himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with his relatives in Vrindavan? Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vishnu? How many wives did he marry? And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Srila Prabhupada comments. In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1, possessing a spiritual, blissful body. His bodily feature is Narakriti, that is, exactly like that of a human being. Here the same idea is repeated in the words Manusham Ashritya, which indicates that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Elsewhere, everywhere, it is confirmed that Krishna is never nirakara, or formless. He has his form, exactly like that of a human being. There's no doubt about this. Maharaj Parikit continued. O great sage, who knows everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities by which I have inquired and also those of which I have not. For I have full faith and am eager to hear of them. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Right? So it's not that he's not feeling hunger and thirst, but because he's absorbed in Krishna Katha, he forgets about them. Right? You know, that's the standard thing. You know, the kid gets restless, you just distract them. Right? And they forget. So, like that. So then the mind is focused on these aspects. You distract it by Krishna consciousness. It forgets. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Maharaj Parikit continued. We just did that. Srila Prabhupada comments. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Sukadev Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Samika Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahmin boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. Because that's one of the indications of the spiritual body. There is no fatigue or hunger and thirst. But in the material body, then that's pretty standard issue. Right? Yeah. So here, as he's also taking up that value, he's saying, well, why is he doing this? Why not? You know, if he had, you know, 2 weeks or a month, then he might have been drinking water and stuff. But it was not. It was just for 1 week. So therefore, then get in the maximum you can. So therefore, he's, you know, because he knows the time of his leaving. That's one thing. The other aspect is that he's cursed in this position because of being thirsty. So, yes, you don't want to mess with that one, right? It went bad the first time. So, therefore, he was thirsty, then he tried to take care of that by material methods. It didn't work out, right? So, not only did he not get anything to drink, but he ended up, you know, being cursed. So, therefore, then, he's taking the path of, you know, since that's where the problem came up, he's just staying away from that. So it's not that we should necessarily take on this position.
Okay.
Like that. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman, or spirit soul, and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna conscious movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. All of human society is engaged. So that's the real hunger and thirst we have to take care of. We look too much at, I have to perform my mundane occupation so that I can take care of the material hunger and thirst. Yes, that's a duty. But that's not actually the greatest hunger and thirst. We have to understand taking care of the Krishna conscious aspect. That's actually the most important. So if you can take care of that, that's the primary. And then secondary, you take care as you can. So the warm season is officially here.
Yes.
Because only when it gets warm then the bamboos do that. Just they dry and then they split. Mm-hmm. So you can now start putting away some of that winter clothes. Okay. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Puna, puna, punas, charvita, charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsara vartmani. Bhagavad Gita 9.3, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. That's what it mentioned before. We generally think of birth after birth, but then in that one point it was pointed out that you, birth gives rise to another birth, but death gives rise to another death. Right? So, you know, death after death. You know.
Less romantic.
Yes. So then it was saying, what's that saying they always say? About born again.
Born.
So, are you dying again?
Dead again.
Yeah, dead again. Now that would go down well, right? With the Goths and that, you know, we're dead again. Dead again, Goths.
That's how we can.
Yeah, new field of preaching.
I saw a cartoon with a young guy and an old guy, and the young guy was saying, "When I was your age, I didn't believe in reincarnation either."
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, I think it was in a discussion once or something. Redananda Mars and that there was this point on reincarnation. And it came up and says, "No, but I just see a young," the one person said, "I just see a young child." Vidanya Mahārāja says, "Well, I see an old man who didn't understand philosophy." That's why they're, oops. Okay. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Sukadeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna conscious movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Because you know, otherwise, it's how can you give that up? Like that. Sutta Goswami said, Osana Brigu, Shaunaka Rishi, after Sukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikit. He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam, Kali Kalmasha, Ganam, indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in the Kali Yuga, people have only short lives and that they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. I guess that has a dual meaning, right? They have no culture of spiritual. They have no culture and no culture of spiritual. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narad Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people in this age of Kali. Kali Kalmasha Kanam. The Krishna conscious movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal of humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi, or executive head of state, government. This is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Idam Rajarshayo Viduhu, Bhagavad Gita 4.2. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third-class and fourth-class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikit was Rajarshi Satama, the best of all saintly kings, and Sukadeva Goswami was Muni Satama, the best of Munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna conscious movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead.
Is that being completely situated in the Adhikarana?
Is it being completely situated in the Adhikarana? It depends on... means if your Adhikarana is that Krishna Katha is the actual focus in life, then yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Ganges, emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified, the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. So that's when you always have a group. There's going to be a discussion, listening, and then from in that, individuals ask questions. So all three aspects, everybody becomes benefited. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said, Tasmat gurum prapatyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Those interested in understanding the transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapatyeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikit has surrendered to the right personality, Sukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities, and Bhagavad Gita is the record of Vasudev speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna conscious movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, anyone who preaches will be purified. So we noticed that when we were going through the other cantos, here and there in a canto, or over canto, you'll get the point where Prabhupada says this movement is for this purpose, or like this. But we can see here, in this chapter, and only in a few verses, he said it already now about, you know, 3 or 4 times. So that's the whole point, is the discussion of Krishna Katha, that's the purpose of the mission. That's the real purpose. Then there's so many environments in which you can get people to hear. So you have temples so they can come together and hear. You have book distribution so that they get the information, they can hear. Like that, we go out to different programs, house programs, school programs, all this. What's the whole point? So people hear. That's the real point. So preaching means people are hearing about Krishna. Right? Not that you're just going to be a nice guy and they think you're a nice guy. There's some ajñāta sukriti to that. If someone appreciates a devotee, that's always going to be a benefit. So there's no loss. That's the point. There's never any loss for a Krishna conscious person. But the actual main point is some discussion about the Supreme. That's actually what you're trying to get to. So, verses 70 to 25. On the plea of Mother Bhumi, the devatas pray to Lord Vishnu. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, once when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Srila Prabhupada comments, when the world is overburdened by unnecessary military arrangements, and when various demoniac kings are the executive heads of state, this burden causes the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada yadharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I appear myself. When the residents of this earth become atheistic and godless, they descend to the status of animals like dogs and hogs, unless their only business is to bark among themselves. This is dharmasya glani, deviation from the goal of life. Right? So they're barking about just their mundane position and how they like something or don't like something, right? So then the point is that they should, not that discussion's not going on, but it should be about Krishna. It should be about Krishna Katha. That's the point. That's proper use of your, how you say, vocal tendencies. Like that. Otherwise, if not, then it ends up like barking of dogs.
In 1715 says austerity of speech.
1750, yes, barely a speech.
Yes, yes. Kind, truth, beneficial, and related to Krishna. I think Prabhupada makes the point in this report.
Yeah.
It's related to Krishna.
Yeah. And now they're starting their paragraph.
Yeah, there's a Gaudiya Mata.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sorry?
Party.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, we're having a party. Okay. In the Mayavadis, we talk about the
barking of the dogs.
Barking of the dogs. Yes. And it's all whose fault? It's all whose fault?
It's all whose fault?
The barking of the dogs. Yeah. So here we see that it applies wherever it goes. So in there it's talking about those on the platform of jnana, then they're, yes, barking like dogs, useless things. Then on the platform of karma, then you have the leaders of state. Then they, being atheistic, they're not interested in Krishna Katha, so they make trouble. So the main point is, it doesn't matter where it is. You go into the family, they're not talking about Krishna Katha, it doesn't matter where it is. If they're talking about Krishna Katha, it becomes useful. And if they're not talking about Krishna Katha, it's not useful. Like that. That's the principle. Just you're giving the same point in different explanations. Yes. Right? You're different situations, and you're giving the different. Mm. So that way, because otherwise you'll say, oh, that applies over there, that doesn't apply here. But actually it's the same point. So that's vichar, looking at it from different angles so that you understand it's actually that same point applies everywhere. Because if Krishna's everywhere, the point's about Krishna, that means that point applies everywhere. You just have to know how it applies, as we discussed before. Vocabulary changes and this and that, depending on the context. Human life is meant for attaining the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. But when people are godless and the presidents or kings are unnecessarily puffed up with military power, their business is to fight and increase the military strength of their different states. Right? So we see here, we're not really worried what it is. It's a principle. So whether it's a president, whether it's a king, or whatever they call the head of their state, that doesn't matter. It's a principle. Right? So this is not on this, then we get off into distraction about kings. Like that. This is the point is that if the head of state is not God conscious, or if the head of anything is not God conscious, that which is under them will also have a tendency to not be God conscious. If we're God conscious, it moves nicely. We're not, it doesn't. Right? So that means is individually you should be God conscious, and especially if you're in a position where there's leadership. Right? Nowadays, so increasing the military strength. What is the military strength? It's for security. Right? And so security is in the position of sambandha, right? But now of the two, why would we be interested in that? Someone who's liberated, who sees themselves as a servant of Krishna, and who is only interested in pleasing Krishna, we see where they're not worried about security. They just perform their duties, right? But they're taken care of, they're protected, as was the previous point that he opens this conversation about Arjuna in this position, right? So therefore, now what is material consciousness? Right? I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And that is known of as envy and attachment. Right? So I am the controller, therefore envy, and then the need within envy is that security. Because if you have security, then you it makes your position strong. And then there's the opportunity to enjoy. Right? Does that make sense? So enjoyment, it's gain. You don't gain something, how you'll enjoy it. But if you gain it, then it moves back and it becomes part of your security. You understand? So you see what we're getting at here? So the need for security and the need and the false ego and envy, these are all together. So therefore the idea when one increases that military strength, there's also means there's an increase in the envy, means that they're going to bark at each other. Just what must happen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Such prepro. Okay. Nowadays, therefore, it appears that every state is busy manufacturing atomic weapons to prepare for a third world war. Such preparations are certainly unnecessary. They reflect the false pride of the heads of state. The real business of a chief executive is to see to the happiness of the mass of people by training them in Krishna consciousness in different divisions of life. Chaturvanyam mayashrishtam gunakarma vibhagashaha. Bhagavad Gita 4.13. A leader should train the people as Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, engage them in various occupational duties, thus helping them progress towards Krishna consciousness. Right? So this means for devotees, because if we're talking about them progressing in Krishna consciousness, we mean what is the environment in which devotees are functioning. Right? Does that make sense? So we can't say, oh, but this is for the karmis, this is not for us. But then if it's not for us, then we should just be chanting and preaching and all that. But if we're organizing, we have occupations, which means Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, like this, you understand? So why wouldn't it mean us? So this is the whole point. This is what leadership is for. Is to see, because if everyone's situated according to their nature, then they'll be successful in the application of their nature, both in being Krishna conscious and in getting material facilities. Why do people give up a dynamic Krishna conscious lifestyle for being practical, quote unquote? Right? Because of the need for material facility. So that means that they're making an endeavor, but not scientifically, so the results coming aren't actually that great, and they're not being Krishna conscious, so that result's not coming so great. So how, on which level is it practical? Right? Means amongst oneselves, for patting each other on the back and all that, then okay. You know, it has some meaning. You won't even get a dislocated shoulder blade for that, unless you're Punjabi, because their pats on the back are serious. But if you're not Punjabi, then you're not actually, might not even actually get a pat on the back, because that would really be over the wall, because then you have to be very personal. Right? So the point is this, on all levels one loses. But if one is organized according to this, one knows what one's nature is, how that relates to others, you know what you're supposed to do, then you perform that duty. Then, and in that in connection to Krishna, you become Krishna conscious and you get the material facilities that match your duty. Instead, however, rogues and thieves in the guise of protectors arrange for a voting system. In the name of democracy, they come to power by hook or crook and exploit the citizens. Right? So that's an extreme of that. But where does that come from? We move away from God's system. So therefore, using a God-approved system, then has that atheistic element to it. So it's always going to have some aspect that's not going to work well. That's why then we work under the direction of the acharyas. Right? So what they give us, how they tell us, we do that, it works nicely. We don't, it doesn't work very well. Not at all. Even long, long ago, asuras, the persons devoid of God consciousness, became the heads of state. And now this is happening again. The various states of the world are preoccupied with arranging for military strength. Sometimes they spend 65% of the government's revenue for this purpose. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Right? So we can say, oh, there's a rise in this, so then how's the Lord coming? He's come in the form of this movement. Right? Because it's Krishna Katha that will remove the demoniac mentality. Right? Because in this age, as pointed out by Nityananda Prabhu, if we remove all the demons, there won't be anyone left. Right? Because the demoniac mentality is all pervasive. Mm-hmm. So then therefore, in here, killing the demons and establishing Dharma means removing the demoniac mentality and establishing Krishna consciousness. Right? Because if one's God conscious, then one sees things in the proper light. Does that make sense? But it has to be, as we said, pure devotional service. We're not just talking, okay, you're aware of God, because you can be aware of God and still do just whatever you like. It has to be awareness of God and then functioning on that platform that God says. That will create the harmony. Does that make sense? This is quite natural, for without the Krishna conscious movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. Because otherwise, then, like barking dogs, then, and you see, barking dogs are never happy. Right? Quiet dogs sitting in the sun, asleep, okay. Maybe there's some happy, as the Mayavadis point out. You know?
The flamingos are flying.
Flamingos are flying.
The crane.
Yeah, but the dog, if he's noticing them, then he gets agitated because he wants to catch them. So maybe the flamingo's okay, because when he lands on the ground, then the sleeping dog wakes up and then barks. While if the flamingo stays flying, the dog stays asleep, and then all is well.
In Asian, sometimes there are people who are God conscious, but but they do whatever they like. Can you please give an example?
They're God conscious, but they do whatever they like. Means they're conscious that there is a God, but it's not that being conscious of God changes their life or their lifestyle. If you look at the statistics, I think of the 7 billion people on the planet, that a smaller percentage don't believe in God. Most believe in God, some form or another. Right? But how much has it changed the barking dog syndrome? I say BDS.
Yes.
It still remains as a prominent, I say, disease.
Yes.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Mother Earth, this is not going good today. I was going to say Mother Urmila. Because what? How did she get in here? Okay, so here, once when Mother Earth was overburdened, she approached Lord Brahma. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed, with tears in her eyes. She appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods, approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Footnote 5. In his additional notes for this chapter, Srila Prabhupada adds, it is said that all the demigods, accompanied by Trinayana, Lord Shiva, went to the shore of the ocean of milk and offered their prayers through the mantra known as Purusha Shukta. From this statement is understood that the demigods cannot directly approach Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, or enter his abode. This is also clearly stated in the Mahabharata, Moksha Dharma. And in the next chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has his abode in Goloka. Goloka namni nijadhamni tale cha tasya. Brahma Samhita 5.43. From Lord Krishna came the Chaturvyuha, the quadruple expansion, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumna, and Vasudev. There are innumerable Brahmanas. Brahmandas. I was thinking, why would it be spelled like that? Why would you spell Brahmanas like that? There are innumerable Brahmandas, all of which emanate from the pores of Karanadakshay Vishnu. And in every Brahmanda, there is a Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is a partial expansion of Aniruddha. This Aniruddha is a partial expansion of Prajumna, who is partially represented as Kiradakshay Vishnu, the supersoul of all living entities. These Vishnu expansions are different from Krishna, who resides in Goloka Vrindavan. When it is said that the demigods offer prayers to the Lord by chanting the Purusha Shukta, this indicates that they please the Lord by enunciating prayers of bhakti. Because the Purusha Shukta is then talking about the Lord who's beyond the creation. Because then, if we look at it here, it says this indicates, right? So, Krishna in the Chatur Shloki, then he says he is everything, right? Then, whatever is of value, if it's seen in connection to Krishna, then it has actual value. And if it's not, it's illusion. Then his next point is he's beyond all that. So that's the whole point of the Purusha Shukta. He's all this and beyond. So if we take the beyond aspect, that means the person. If we deal with the person, that means bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, let's say the demons in that, they deal with the Lord. They don't see him in relationship to his devotees. They don't see that bhakti element. So they don't deal with Bhagavan. They're dealing with him as Paramatma. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore the Purusha Shukta, that is the prayer that's used in all official ceremonies and all that. It's always the prayer. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Shukta. So with attention, so they're not thinking of whether they turned off the gas or not before they left their planet and went up to the how you say, Dhruva Loka, right? So, yeah. While entranced, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, "O demigods, hear from me the order of Kiradakshai Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay." Yeah, so they're attentive, he's entranced. Right? So the point is the focus is on the Supreme. Then one actually gets the proper understanding. So again, even though they're using all these technical methods, right, of meditation, of ritual, all these different religious processes, the main point is the focus on the Supreme. That's what makes it viable. That's what makes it work. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Brahma did not directly see or meet Vishnu. In a state of meditation, he heard a voice in the sky. From this, one can understand that to see Vishnu directly is difficult even for Brahma. Thus, when the origin of Vishnu, Lord Krishna, can be seen directly by all men when he appears on this earth, it is the display of extraordinary mercy that is not available at any other time. Gam Paurushim means the Purushas or Kiradakshai Vishnu's words. Paurushim. Wow. So we're saying Gam Paurushim means the Purushas. Like that, belonging to. So here it also can be possessive. So Elohim can be possessive, meaning the words of the Lord. So about him and his energies. Okay. Lord Brahma repeats the words of Lord Vishnu in four verses. Lord Brahma informed the demigods, "Before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden, by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus." Right, so they came there with their problem, but the Lord already knew about the problem. Right, so therefore, he's going to come in and perform pastimes on the earth, so the demigods should, they should come down and take part in those pastimes. Right, so as he's in that potency form of time in this way, then that during that time, then they have to take part. So the Prabhupada comments. The word Pumsa refers to Krishna, who was already aware of how the whole world was suffering because of increased demons. Aware. So Pumsa means aware. Pumsa? Aware?
No. Not exactly.
Not exactly. Not exactly, so, but he's already aware. But there must be some connection.
Yes, some connection.
Yes.
Yes,
so some connection is good. Yes, because that means when the child becomes aware, you have pumsava. What do you call it?
Samskara.
Yeah, samskara. Yeah. Without reference to the supreme power of the supreme to the personality of Godhead, demons assert themselves to be independent kings and presidents, unless they create a disturbance by increasing their military power. Right. So that's the whole point. When one tries to increase one's position and authority and power, but it's not according to actually the nature of how Krishna is giving it, then that's the problem. So if it's done in a way not connected to Krishna consciousness, what's recommended, then it's a disturbance. Not that there's not authority, not that there's not power. Like Parikshit Maharaj is famous for his going and chastising Kaliraj, or that any kings that were there, you know, or Dhruva Maharaj. So all these great kings are known, Arjuna, but it's not about power just to accumulate for their own security. So if one's worried about one's own security, that means there's something wrong in the process. Right? One has to include Krishna in it, then it starts to take on the proper form. Yeah.
So it means if you worry, you just include Krishna and continue to worry?
Yes, you can, but as much as you're worrying, he won't be worrying, as we said before. So whichever parts you actually want him to worry about, you can't worry about. And if you're worried about them, then that's where the problem is. Yes, that's the problem. We want our cake and eat it.
Yeah, sometimes we don't don't worry about the temple car because Krishna will probably
worry about it. Yeah, that's another thing. That's not a philosophical point. That's a cultural point.
Oh, okay.
It's a different context.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes. That's called, it means at least in the local lingo, called barwari. It means that there's 12 different owners. So that means no one owns. You know, it's like who fills up the water bottle in the fridge.
Yeah.
Right, so, like that. Yes, that's another thing. But if you'll notice, she has her own bottle in her room, so that... Yes. When such disturbances are prominent, Krishna appears. At present also, various demoniac states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways, and the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by his name in the Hare Krishna movement, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Philosophers, religionists, and people in general must take to this movement very seriously, for man-made plans and devices will not help bring peace on earth. The transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, is non-different from the person, Krishna. So if that's taken up, then it works very nicely. That will solve the problem. So the increasing the chanting of Hare Krishna like that, that's what will make things function. You increase management, you increase, you know, the security, you increase one's, you know, how you say, consolidating one's power and all, that's not actually what's going to do anything. You be Krishna conscious, that will make all that work. Because Brahmins are secure, why? Because they're God conscious. So someone takes care, and Krishna's taking care, right? But you want to do it yourself, then yes, you have to do it yourself. That's the main principle. Lord Brahma continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudev. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. Surastriyaha, the wives of the devas, refers to expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions who are present in the heavenly planets. Examples are the wives of the Manvantara avatars, such as Upendra or Vamana. They performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy with Krishna's most dear lovers. Because of this worship, they should take birth in different forms as Priya Shakis of Krishna. In the Ujjwala Nilamani is said, Nitya Sarva Priyanam Amshas Tu. When Krishna appears in the family of the Devatas in partial form, his beloveds also appears as the forms of the devis to please him. When Krishna appeared on earth, they took the form of young unmarried gopis as Priya Shakis of the Nitya Priya Shakis. So his potency is there in the demigods, therefore their potency is there from the demigoddesses. And then when he appears in Vrindavan, they come as the gopis there. So wherever he is appearing, so he appears in Dwarka, they'll come as the queens. Does that make sense? Like that. So like that is he, wherever he's appearing, then that group of Shaktis that are around. In other words, you have the yoga peat, so you adjust the yoga peat to a different situation. The positions are all the same, just the names are changed. Yes.
Shiva, the Devatas found. The Devatas found, like Shiva, he chants the Purusha Sutta.
He's chanting the all chant. Like that.
The Devatas appear, follow Shiva, right?
The Devatas, they follow Vishnu, and Shiva's, and they're following Shiva in that he's following Vishnu. But it's not that because they came to this place following Brahma, like that, because it's about the connection with Vishnu that's there. He also comes, because he's also a devotee. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav Prabhupada ki.